And then she got over in front of me. I didn't pray. I didn't do anything. I just filled my hands with water and soaked her. I'm not exaggerating. There's a few here that will confirm my story, Connie and Randy. That woman literally danced back to her seat. When that happened, people got up and lined up. And that night, I kid you not, every person, and I never prayed for anybody. They walked up, I splashed them. Every single person that got splashed by that water that night got healed.
Amen.
It was the most unusual thing. It was like God had taken the roof off our church and just poured liquid Holy Spirit all over everybody. It was amazing. But you know what? He's never repeated that. I'm happy for him to do that. I'd love to do that again. But I didn't go home and get out a pad of paper and say, okay, in order for that to happen again, we've got to do A, B, C. No. That was an amazing move of God. God doesn't always heal the same. Here's some major ways in which he does heal. Through the word of God. Proverbs says the word of God is like medicine. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Sometimes you get a rhema word confirmed by the written word, as I did with the Crohn's disease. The Lord told me, don't take that medicine, even though three good doctors had said, you better take it or you're going to die. But I got a rhema word from God, and then he confirmed it with his logos word. And so I went with the fourth report. The way, and I believe this is the primary way, that he heals is through the laying on of hands. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, you notice that does not say the signs follow those who are apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. It says those who what? Those signs follow those who believe. We need to be getting our hands on each other. I think one of the great tragedies of this whole COVID thing is Satan has called Christians to back up. And, you know, we got to keep 6 feet between us and we got to make sure we don't touch each other and that all that sort of thing. God wants us touching each other. God wants us to lay hands on the sick. And you've heard my opinion about it before. I believe when I'm praying for you to be healed, that no virus can travel up the stream of anointing. That anointing stream only goes one way. A third way is various gifts of healing within the body. 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. The body is supposed to heal itself. There's a whole lot of you that are supposed to be laying hands on people and getting them healed, but you don't think you have anything to offer. But you can do it as good as I can. You just need to do it. When the body does not function the way it's supposed to, then we all suffer and we stay unhealed. There's the prayer of faith, where you get a supernatural revelation of faith. There's a combination of prayer and medicine and exercise and diet, just as important as anything else. When I went into depression and anxiety several years ago, I sort of succumbed to the thought of, well, I'm getting by now okay. It's not horrible, so I can live with the medication helping me. But then one day, something inside of me said, no, I want my abundant life back. And I began to make some changes and change my approach to a whatever it takes and whatever God in his word says approach. And I went for it. And I'm doing great now. Medication free. Everybody has a different journey. There's the anointing with oil, as we read last week in James chapter 5 and verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's some things that you won't get healed of unless you confess it to another person. Did you know that? There's some things that you need to be anointed with oil to do it. Jesus told lepers to go show themselves to a priest. Sometimes you're healed by the word of knowledge given to somebody else. Sometimes just being in an anointed atmosphere like the one I was talking about. So, when the healing virtue's flowing. Sometimes you can get healed during communion, sometimes by prayer calls, holy water, not the kind the Catholic priest sprinkles on you. The deliverance from demons that are behind an illness. Repentance of judging or not forgiving somebody can get you healed. All kinds of unusual ways and means that are in the Word. Peter's shadow healed people. Touching the hem of Jesus' robe by a woman one time touched off a hem, touching healing revival in the whole region. People were just touching Jesus' hem and getting healed. There's so many different unique ways. I guess what I'm saying to you with this is get God out of your religious box so he can bless you out of your socks. Because that's what he wants to do. Number four, you got 5 more minutes? Yeah, I'm glad. You must do it God's way. John 5:8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Notice he didn't touch him. He didn't spit on his eyes. He didn't make a mud pie like he had for other people. He just gave instructions. What if this guy had not obeyed because it went against his religious tradition, or the Pharisees would get mad at him, which they did? I think he would have laid there till he died. Everyone that came to Jesus for healing, he healed. But every situation is different. We sometimes, instead of having I'm not worthy to be healed mentality, we have an entitlement mentality. We think, well, I deserve to be healed and healthy, and if I'm not, God's not a good God. But it's just exactly the opposite of that. I deserve death and hell, but my good, 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 good God gives me healing in spite of me. His healing is always for his glory and my good and my humility. Remember a guy named Naaman in the Old Testament? In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was a real important guy. Put that scripture up there in 2 Kings, please. He was a real important guy. And he took a whole army with him to go see the prophet to get himself healed. And you know what the prophet did? He wouldn't even come out and talk to him. He sent his servant and he said, go wash in the muddy Jordan River and you'll dip 7 times, you'll be healed. And here's what that scripture says. Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, our God, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And the next verse says, and are not the Arbanah and the Pharfar, however you say it, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was so committed to it happening a certain way, he was willing to lose his healing. But thankfully, he had some pretty smart servants around him. See, they said, Master, you know, if they told you to do some kind of great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Said, what's it going to hurt? Try it. And so the guy humbled himself. He went to the River Jordan. And I guarantee you, when he dipped the first time, he didn't see any change. He dipped the second time, no change. Third time, fourth time, fifth time. He looked exactly the same as on the first dip. Sixth time, no change at all. There was no indication he was getting any better. But the seventh time, he dipped and he came up and his skin was completely clean like a baby's. You have to trust God's process. We don't have to be or do everything perfect for God to heal us, but we do have to be willing to humble ourselves and change and obey as He directs us. Here's my last thing. It's short. You must walk it out. You must walk it out. Verse 9, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. You have to walk it out. Healing isn't just about relieving your pain or your problem. It's about redeeming God's eternal purpose for your life. In Isaiah chapter 61, which is the psalm or the prophecy that Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4 about what he came for, what he was anointed for, the last two verses, or verse 3 and 4 of that say, he also is there, came to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And look at this. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. In other words, saved, healed people are to help other people get saved and healed. God wants you to give away what He does for you. It's the most exhilarating way to live. Your scars have the greatest potential to do more than you can even imagine. No matter where you get them, whether it's from addiction or abortion or sexual problems or cancer or COVID, Jesus has scars. And by His scars, we're healed. But by our scars, we help others get healed. I can't heal a headache, but the power of the Holy Spirit through me can heal anything God can heal. Do you believe that about you? It's true, whether you believe it or not. There are heaven scars and there are hell scars. Heaven scars, which is our pain and our hurt and our sickness turned to God and redeemed. Heaven scars glorify God. Hell scars glorify the devil. Heaven scars help inspire others. Hell scars help nobody. They just hurt others. Heaven scars release us for our purpose in life. Hell scars trap us in the past and limit our lives. Heaven scars remind us of God's goodness and inspire faith. Hell scars remind us of life's problems and inspire fear. So I said all that to say this. I want to give you just a real quick protocol, a basic protocol for when you get sick. Number one, stay connected and minister to the body and receive from the body. Everything in the body of Christ is relationally transferred. Yes, practice good hygiene. Don't sneeze, snot, snort, or cough on each other. Don't lick each other. Actually, last week, Melissa had lost all her taste and smell. She was sitting over there, and she told me that, and I said, in my subtle way, I said, well, just lick the back of my hand. I bet you'll taste that. Well, she didn't do it, and she was kind of grossed out. But the good news is I don't have a black eye because my wife wasn't standing next to me. So anyway, secondly, speak the word to your body. The moment you get sick, find the applicable scriptures and begin to confess them over yourself and your situation and refuse to speak death. Proverbs 18:21, what's it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Mark 11:23 tells us we're to speak to our mountains and they'll be removed. Just takes a mustard seed of faith. Thirdly, speak your faith and not your doubt. What if God doesn't heal me? And my answer is always, what if he does? So stay connected, minister to the body, receive from the body, speak the word to your body, speak your faith and not your doubt. Fourthly, do everything you know to do. Take authority over what you have authority over. Get counsel. Have people pray for you. Eat good. Be proactive. Be active. But don't say, well, I sure hope God heals me soon, and call that waiting on God. Waiting on the Lord is living in expectancy of it happening. About 5 years ago, my knees started to get bad. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, let me put it like this. For your right knee, if it was a 50,000-mile tire, you have 45,000 miles on it, and you're going to have to get a new one, not immediately, but pretty soon. And so I did everything I knew to do. I went to physical therapy, didn't help much, and did the wrong exercises at the gym. It wasn't getting better. So I went to, and I got some rooster shots. That helped a lot. And then I've discovered the right way to work out at the gym to strengthen my legs, and my knee's better than it's been in a long time. And I'm going up and down stairs, and I'm doing good. So I'm determined to get 60,000 miles out of this 50,000-mile knee. When healing doesn't come, number five, when a healing doesn't come, go deeper. Pray and fast. Don't try to figure out what you did wrong or who didn't have enough faith. Just get closer to God and press in. Some things we can't understand until God reveals it. Why did my son die and not other people's sons? I don't know. It's a fruitless exercise for me to try to figure that out. Why is Rodney? Why is everybody else in our church that's gotten COVID, why are they doing good, healed, and better? And why is Rodney in ICU on a ventilator? Well, we don't need the answer to that right now. We don't need to know the why. We need to press in and believe for his healing. In Mark chapter 9, the disciples tried, they'd been healing people, casting out demons, raising the dead. They tried to heal this boy, and it didn't work. And it says, Mark 9:28, when he had come into his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There's things that are deeper that we don't understand. And rather than go away from God and say, why haven't you done this, God? We need to go deeper into the Lord. And here's the last thing. Believe in the finished work of healing. Hebrews chapter 4. I have seen, it looks to me like Melissa has caught this truth. Praise God. Melissa chapter 4. Well, praise God. Claim it for yourself. It's yours. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. That'll be the running joke for 10 years. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath they will not enter my rest, though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And then if you look at verse 11, that whole chapter is worth reading, but look at verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. The King James says, let us labor to enter that rest. Well, that's like an oxymoron. How in the world do you labor to enter rest? Here's how you do it. The labor is going from stress to rest. The labor is you worship. You speak in agreement with the Word. You thank Him for what He's doing. And you rest in what He's already done. You rest that He's made provision. All of you guys, you walked in here today and you saw a seat and you did a fast calculation. If I sit down on that seat, that's going to hold me up. And you know what you did? You took your seat. Everybody came in here and took their seat. When it comes to healing, take your seat. Amen. Just take your seat. It's already provided. I know that's hard to understand and hard to figure out, but it's true. Take your seat. Rest in the finished work of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, we need you. I'd like the team to go ahead and come. I feel like the Lord gave me very specific instructions today about what we're to do at the end of this service. First of all, I think I know most everybody here, but just in case somebody doesn't know Jesus, anybody lost and need to know Jesus, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. We don't ever want to not give that opportunity. Anybody in the room? Okay. And I'm not requiring you guys to do this, but one of the things I'd like to do is bring up Rodney's family to just come stand up front here. And then anybody who's sick or has a loved one who's sick, I'd like you to come. I'm going to be praying for you here in a minute, for you and for them. And generally speaking, something that's pretty serious, not somebody that's got a sniffle. But if you got faith for that, do it. Anybody else need to get in on this? Okay. So now, I feel like the Lord is orchestrating it this way. Not just elders and deacons, but anybody in this body with even just a little bit of faith, I want you to come up and stand in front of these people, and I'm going to ask you to, as you come, go ahead and start coming. You don't have to, but it's okay if the whole church comes or half the church comes or whatever. Okay. First, what I want you to do is to ask the Lord and spread out and make room for everybody to crowd in. Some of you can come around behind these people. Maybe you guys, you could, why don't you guys turn around and face this way and step back away from the altar a little bit so people can get in front of you. So some people can fill in front of these folks right here. There's some right here. You can.
Brother Pastor, do you have a prayer call?
I don't have one on me, but we can if
like
your faith's moving that way.
Yes, brother, that we can give it to Sister Melissa. Some way God will work it out. She can get it to the hospital and put it on her.
Okay, we'll get that to her after. We'll get her a cloth instead of a tissue. Amen. Amen. I might even have some like cloths in my office. Huh? Yeah, that's good. So here's what I want you to do. Everybody that's up here to pray for them. First, I want you to stop and talk to God. Close your eyes. Ask the Lord to give you specific words of knowledge and gifts of healings for these people. Let's just take a minute and do that. Just play softly for a moment. Just talk to the Lord now. You can pray in the spirit or whatever. Just talk to the Lord. Ask him for specific words of knowledge and gifts of healings. And then I want you to specifically lay hands on them and pray specifically over them, speak healing to them, speak whatever God's put in your heart to speak, but rebuke the sickness, pray in agreement whatever is needed, but get your hands on them and pray for them. And pray in a commanding way, not in a begging way, in a commanding way. We are commanding this thing. We are not being pushed by it. We're pushing it out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh, my baby, Yes. Thank you, Almighty God. Father, we confess that greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world, that You are our great healer, our great physician, our mighty fortress, our strong tower, our everlasting God. There's nothing too difficult for you. God, whatever the report of the world, we believe the report of the Lord. And your report is, I am healed. Your report is, Rodney is healed. Your report is healing. Virtue will flow like a river in this church and in every person. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
All right. We have a prayer cloth here. Ironically, it's a mask. That's we're going to convert for the glory of God. Brother Milton, lay hands on this with me. Father, in the name
everybody
of Jesus,
pray with us here. Oh,
you go
Messiah,
ahead and pray.
Shout out God, we ask that the healing virtue, your healing virtue will go with this cloth into that hospital room as his wife lays it upon his body, Lord, and upon his, right now, we ask it, God, that you begin to work right now. But when this cloth touches his body, great healing power will be
in the name of Jesus.
In his body.
In the
name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
The Spirit of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Officially ending. We're just. You can go when you want to.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make him whole, reaching out to make me whole. the one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, we believe in you. We believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The one who in is to come.
Jesus, we believe.